There's a timing for everything in life, and God's timing is always perfect. You know, today being Advent Sunday, the Sunday where we focus on the peace of God that comes to us through Him, I just marvel at how God sews things together, even in the midst of our sorrows, even in the midst of our times of trial. He sows things, and I believe that there is a word for each of you this morning from the Lord through His word. So would you bow with me in prayer before I begin this message today? Jesus, we thank You for Your goodness and the goodness of Your word. There's power in Your name, Lord, and there's power in Your word. We pray, God, that our hearts would be open to hear what it is that Your Holy Spirit would say to us today in the midst of the news that we've received, God. God, we thank You for peace. And there's peace, a promise of peace for believers today. Then I pray, God, that You would open our hearts to hear and that You'd help me to articulate what it is that You'd like the people here to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Many people strive for one thing more than any other. And that something is peace. The reason that peace is sought by so many is because they're not experiencing it. Now, if you look over your community and the places that you travel, whether it's in your family circles or your friend circles, many people are feeling unsettled and anxious, knowing that there is something deep within them that is out of place. And the Bible defines peace primarily in three ways. When we look at the totality of Scripture, we see that there is personal peace, and that's comfort within. People are searching for comfort within. And then there's relational peace. People are searching for harmony with other folks, harmony amongst humanity. And then there's spiritual peace between man and God. And from front to back, we see the Bible is full of illustrations showing how throughout the history of our world, humanity, in its rebellion against the rule of God, has been damaged by sin. And we see, and a large portion of the Bible is written to demonstrate the fact that sin, rebellion against God, has damaged or wiped out all three types of peace. And when God created Adam and Eve, in that garden there was perfect peace. Perfect peace with God. Perfect peace between husband and wife. And perfect peace between them and everything else. In Genesis, the Bible tells us that this ideal of peace, and we know the story if you've read the Bible or if you've been introduced to the start of the problems with humanity in Genesis, this ideal of peace was lost when Satan's lies deceived Eve and Adam decided to go with her and disobey the Lord. And because of the fall, from that day to the present day, unsettling chaos can be traced all the way back through the ages to this original sin. And each one of us has sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God in our natural state. Peace in this world is hard to find. Well, look what's taking place today. You know, most of the significant wars fought in the history of humanity have been fought in the last 120 years. And sadly, these wars continue. It's apparent that despite men's best efforts to find peace, conflicts remain, and they actually seem to be intensifying. On the way into church this morning, I was listening to news of what's happening in Syria. That's the latest conflict. See, in the name of maintaining peace, the United Nations established a peacekeeping force, right? And I've heard stories. I actually have worked with different men that have been on these peacekeeping forces. And I've heard the stories, and maybe you too have heard these stories, that peacekeepers on war-torn fronts have just asked to stand by and to be observers, but they're commanded not to participate in any kind of conflict within that context. So they watch. They watch while horrible crimes are committed all around them in the presence of this peacekeeping force. And they have absolutely no power to intervene or affect actual peace. These are memories that keep my veteran friends awake at night as they've seen terrible things. The ones they couldn't protect, ravaged and broken by wickedness. And we've seen it on the home front as well. It's all around us. You know, in a culture raised on Christian values, we lost the hearts of people because people tried to have Christian values without Christ. And because of that, there was a form of godliness without power that was present in our society. So what happened in the 60s and 70s, many of you here were part of that. People were tired of seeing Christian values pushed without any power behind them. So they questioned, what is happening in this world? Right in the midst of Vietnam, right? The people in America, kids in America that were being asked to go and fight and die in Vietnam didn't even know what they were doing or why they were doing it. And you saw the whole rising up of the culture of that era, you know, with those peace signs. You know, the old Volkswagens with the big peace sign on it and hippies and all that kind of stuff. That all came out of this. They pushed away from the table of Christian values because they weren't seeing the reality of it. And they were experimenting with drugs, with sex, with rock and roll, with Eastern religion. Godless things. And they thought they were going to bring in an age of peace by their separation from the Judeo-Christian values that were provided to them by their parents and grandparents. They thought, we're going to find true peace by pursuing things our own way. But instead of creating a lasting era of peace outside of God, their pursuits have taken them further away from God and have actually produced the opposite effect, shipwrecking our culture with all kinds of destructive influences and behaviors. Chaos. It's all around us, isn't it? It's evident everywhere we look. You see it on the news. Look in the parliamentary debates that are going on. I have to turn it off. I just look at it and I'm like, oh, this is just so irritating and depressing. Consider what's happening in Ukraine, in Israel right now. In Syria, the latest one. Myanmar, Sudan, the list goes on and on and on. There's conflicts all over the place. I hate to say it, but criminal behavior isn't getting any better in our country. Cities are absolutely ravaged by it. Just go down to Vancouver. Walk the streets of Vancouver and look around you. Pay attention to what's going on. What was a small little isolated spot in East Vancouver is now everywhere. Just hopelessness and chaos and anger. Brokenness everywhere. Human families, interpersonal relationships. Each year in Canada, there are 4,500 suicides. There's over 100,000 attempts per year. So, since Adam and Eve's fall, we've seen attempts made by groups of people to secure peace in their own strength to no avail. Despite our best efforts and even good intentions, it's apparent that humanity is sick and sin-laden. Human efforts apart from God have failed to bring peace. Is there hope? Is there any hope that humanity can find lasting peace? This front of personal relationships, inward stability, and spiritual peace in the world. These fronts all display this incredible brokenness. Is there any hope for the weary heart? The Bible says that there is. The Bible tells us that peace can be restored, but humanity cannot do it alone. God knew this, so in His sovereign grace, He formulated a plan. And many of us are familiar with the ancient Old Testament messianic prophecies concerning the birth of a world Savior. They were given by Isaiah more than 700 years before Christ. We remember, those of us who've been in church for a long time, you've heard this Christmas, almost every year at Christmas in your known memory. If you're new and you haven't heard this before, I'm going to read a scripture. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah, the prophet, stated this concerning a future Savior that would come to save the world from their sins. And this is what he said. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on the night Jesus was born, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, 10 to 14, we're told that there were shepherds in the fields surrounding Bethlehem. And at nighttime, they were visited by angels. And this is what was recorded. And an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." So through ancient prophecies in the Old Testament, and in the introduction to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, we see that God had planned. He had planned to step out of heaven and to come down to humanity to become the Savior that this world so desperately needed. Jesus was the Messiah, and being born into the world, it was God's will that the Lord Jesus Christ would bring peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased. Well, then why is there so much conflict? Why don't we see peace across the world if this is true? My friends, it's very important for us to understand that peace through Scripture is not universally bestowed on all of humanity because Jesus came. It's only given to those on whom God's favor rests, among those with whom God is pleased. God's favor can only rest on those who come to submit their lives to Jesus Christ by believing in Him and having His sacrificial offering applied to their hearts through the precious blood that He shed for us on the cross. Now, there will come a day when God will make all things new. He's going to come here. Jesus is returning a second time, and He's going to establish peace on the earth, and every knee will bow before Him. And yes, He will establish 1,000 years of peace, but at this present time, that is not the reality. So many people want peace. They cry for peace, but they only want it on their own terms. They want peace. They will fight to achieve it. But they try to obtain it without submitting to God's holy authority. But the reality of it is this, and this is the wake-up call for a world that is in chaos. You will not find peace without submitting your lives to God. It is not possible because it is not within you to achieve peace on your own strength or on your own terms. Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 16 to 18 says this: for those who resist God, it says this, ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Folks, the world around us has no fear of God. They go around doing whatever they choose, and submitting to God to them is like a four-letter word. They don't want to do it. They have dug in their heels, and they're going to try and find peace another way. Those who resist the call of the Holy Spirit only to submit the throne of their hearts to the enemy of their souls will not find peace. You see, a lot of people don't realize that in their resistance of the Holy Spirit, they're actually submitting themselves to Satan and the kingdom of darkness. When we live for Jesus, however, and we submit our hearts to Him, we will find peace with God. On all three fronts, we're going to find peace. When we submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we will find peace with God. We will find peace with our brothers and sisters that God has placed in our lives with us. And we're going to have peace inside of here, inside of our spirit. This is a promise. You see, when you bow the knee of your heart to Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, I am not able to do what I need to do to please you. I'm not able to do what I need to do to serve you. I can't do it, Lord. I need you, Jesus. Would you have mercy upon me? Would you pour your grace out upon me? Help me, Father. Help me, Lord. Help me to live for you. When you do that and you humble yourself before God, the Spirit of the living God, He gives you strength to become the sons and daughters of God that He designed you to be. But it only comes when you yield to the Spirit and you approach Jesus with that openness in heart and humble yourselves before God. And isn't it a great thing when we come to that point? Because that is when the peace of God is able to penetrate our spirit and flow in and through us. Now, as a Christian, and we read this, the Prince of Peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We call him the Prince of Peace. Why? Because of this fact, that when we open our hearts up to him, he fills us with peace. So he is our prince. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be a cakewalk out there for you. Just because the Prince of Peace reigns in here, when you go out there into a world that has allegiance to the enemy of your soul, the world is actually going to hate you possibly for your stand. Not just possibly, it is going to hate you. The system of this world is going to be at odds with you because of what's inside of you is completely going to clash with what drives and motivates in behind the scenes, which motivates and drives them. You see, this is why Jesus said this, and some people have been kind of going, ooh, this is tough. This is tough to hear. This is why Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 36, he says this, he says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Is that a contradiction to Jesus being the Prince of Peace? No, it's not. It's a mistake for us to assume that when we surrender our spirits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it's going to be a cakewalk. And that everybody's going to be happy with our decision to serve and follow Jesus Christ. Folks, that's not what the Scriptures tell us. If you've been told that, you've been misled. When we come into alignment with God, He fills us with His peace. But we should not be surprised when those who are not submitted to the Lord and are out of alignment with Him, give us trouble or come against us. The truth is that those who are close to you before you became a believer might actually disown you when you come to serve Jesus Christ. This is seriously difficult. It's not an easy thing to hear. I know it's not. Nobody likes trouble, do they? Do you like trouble? I don't like it. Nobody likes trouble. But to be a child of God, we have to be willing to face trouble. And we have to be willing to count the cost. In Matthew 10, 37 to 39, Jesus continues. He said, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. You see what's being said here in the context? Sometimes we take that verse out of context, and we don't see exactly what it's trying to say. You see, the fact of the matter is, when you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, there is a peace that fills you, but you come into a world that is at conflict with the Prince of Peace. And that conflict might take shape in the form of a loved one, of a relative, of a friend that used to be so close to you. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, goodness. I don't know what's going on, God. I thought I was supposed to have this peace all around me when I came to know you. And instead, there's this war that's raging. What's happening? In John 16:33, Jesus explained to his disciple the reality that the gospel he preached to them would bring a mixture of both peace and trouble. He said this to them because he knew that he was going and they were going to have to walk through life and face certain things. And some of those things wouldn't be easy. So he says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And listen to this. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Friends, remember, as a child of God, when you encounter trouble in this world and people dislike, reject, or hate you because of your faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus had encountered the same kind of difficulties too. And so have the saints that have gone before you. But remember who walks with you and who stands beside you through all of life's difficulties. God is with you. Don't ever doubt the fact that God is standing right with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the age. This is the promise that Jesus made to his disciples. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. You are a servant of the Most High God. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ, Christian, Christ-like one. And as Christ-like one, we need to remember who we are in Him. And we need to remember who He is. Because Jesus is not just a sideshow that we take along with us. Jesus is everything. He is the beginning, He is the end, and everything in between. Concerning this, the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, reading from verses 15 to 20, he says this, speaking of Jesus, that He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. See, Jesus has brought peace to us with God. Jesus has brought peace to us with our brethren. Jesus has brought peace to the inner person that we are through His sacrificial blood offering on the cross. That's where our reconciliation was made. And this is why Jesus states in John 14:27 to his disciples, and it's true to us today. He says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, God has made a way for us to experience lasting peace through the Prince of Peace. We must embrace and accept the Lord Jesus. Notice how in that last verse I just read, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Jesus said this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. My peace I leave you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, as believers, Jesus has granted a promised peace to us in the midst of problems. That's why he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, anxiety, my friends, is a choice. Anxiety as Christians is a choice. We can yield to it. But here in John, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. In other words, Jesus calls his followers to let go of their anxieties and to place their trust in him. Place your trust in me, people. I'm able to carry your troubles. Don't let your heart be troubled. Cast your cares upon me. We naturally gravitate towards anxiety, don't we? I do, at least. I'm sure that most of you are. I hope I'm not unique in this. I don't think so. Most of you struggle to let go of trouble, don't we? And this is why Paul instructs the church in Philippi. He says in Philippians, you guys know this verse because we quote it lots, because we always face anxiety and we need to filter through the Word of God. We need to go to the Word every time we're feeling something, right? My faith does not rest upon my feelings. My faith rests on the unshakable character of Christ because he is preeminent in everything. And he wants me to let go of the things that I can't control and come to him with everything that I have in my heart and lay it down before him. And that's why in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we hear these words, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests before God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." The peace that God offers his children does not make sense up here, but it is something, it is a gift of God to believers by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we let Jesus take our anxiety, that which dominates naturally, dominates and distorts God's perspective, is removed in Jesus' name. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over this world. He's Lord over my heart. He's Lord over my soul, my will, my mind, my emotions. He's Lord over this body. Why? Because I am no longer my own. I am purchased with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus, which has purchased peace for me. Thank you, Lord. Concerning our propensity to be anxious, when the storms of life hit us full force, we are tempted to doubt God's protective hand over us. In our natural selves, we get anxious. But God wants us to realize who it is that walks with us. Remember the story of the disciples in the boat with Jesus? Jesus led them to this boat and took them out onto the waters because he knew they needed to experience what they had to experience as a lesson. And the lesson is written in Scripture for us to take to heart. Mark 4, 35 to 41, Jesus takes his disciple or gets his disciples to go down to the lake. That day evening, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, this isn't the only time when Jesus took them into rough waters, but listen to this one. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Folks, those disciples were afraid. In the natural, so they should have been. You, in your lives, there's many things that face you, giants that come to you that look ominous and too powerful for you. And guess what? They are. But don't forget who rides in the boat with you. Don't forget that your God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you even to the very end of the age. You can take this to the bank because it's trustworthy. Because God is trustworthy and he is true to his word. And he will never, never abandon you in the midst of life storms. Well, when the world throws chaos at us in any of its given forms, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? If this is true, what or who or can anything separate us from his love and care? What have we to fear, my friends, if Jesus is with us? With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm until he takes me home. Why? Because to be absent in body, my friends, is to be present with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We do not look at things the same way as this world does, without hope. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ that one day we're going to be united to him in a paradise that will never end. All the sorrows of this journey will be gone far away. And it's only going to be like this, in a snap, in a moment of time. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I give you words of comfort today. The peace of God which surpasses understanding is yours in Jesus' name. Stand firm and turn your eyes into the mountains from whence comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. What shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen to this. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life. You hear that? Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons. Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus was sent into our world to take away our sins, and he did so by allowing himself to be crucified on a cross. That sacrifice made it possible for us to have peace again. Peace within ourselves, peace with each other, and peace with God. After Jesus died on the cross, he came back to life. He was raised from the dead. Jesus demonstrated that what he spoke was true with everything that he accomplished and everything that he did. And he made it clear that he wants everyone who believes in him to have perfect peace. It's written in Ephesians 2:17, and he came and he preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, so that through him we have access, we both have access in the Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and non-citizens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Friends, this is really good news, isn't it? When we consider the meaning of Christmas, that God provided a way for us to experience authentic peace. God humbled himself. He came to earth, born as a man. Jesus came as God's gateway to humanity to enter the Father's spiritual rest and to receive his everlasting peace. There is no other way. Hebrews 1:3 states, and the Son is the exact, or is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And listen to this. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. And among those things that he sustains by his powerful word is you. The world in its rebellion against God is filled with trouble, but God's Savior gives us lasting peace. So, each of us has been given overcoming power, not resident here, but resident in him. Friend, if you're here or you're listening online today and you've never surrendered the throne of your heart to Jesus Christ, you can do it today. You can let go of the things that keep you from God and come to him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be willing to take Jesus at his word. He is God. He died for you. His blood was shed for you. And all you have to do is receive him and believe. And when you do that, Jesus will cast your sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. And he'll make you clean inside, clean as the freshly fallen snow. And he'll come inside your life. The Holy Spirit will come into your heart. He will never be alone. And he will fill you with his perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you this day. May his grace and his peace rest on you and your family as you put your eyes towards him. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for the perfect peace that comes in the middle of life's uncertainties. God, the world around us is full of turmoil. And God, we understand that we're living in that world and it's going to affect us. It's going to bump us, Lord. It's going to shake us. But we are rooted on you, Jesus, our rock, our salvation. Lord, we cast all of our anxieties upon you because you care for us. We thank you today that we had the opportunity to come to be together and to worship your holy name and to hear your word, O God. May we not leave this place the same way, God, but God, would you encourage each person here that believes in you, that they stand on a rock, they stand with the one who is the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Lord, for those that don't know you, I pray that today would be the first day of the rest of their journey, that they would surrender their hearts to you. If you're here today and you need to do that, it doesn't have to be fancy. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. And just be willing to follow Jesus, and you'll be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.